Before Clyde speaks to us and Wesley has our scripture reading, as Jerry pointed out a moment ago, we had it wrong in our bulletin. We got Brother Clyde Freeman speaking to us this morning. I'm looking forward to his lesson. Know that he will do a good job as a veteran preacher. And so we ask that you give him your undivided attention as Clyde speaks to us this morning. Wesley, come and read our scripture for us real quick, and then Clyde will have our lesson for the morning.
Good morning. The scripture, if you would like to read along with me, will be from Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 19. Galatians 5, verses 19 through 23. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, wrath, factions, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law.
I would like to begin my lesson this morning by using a personal illustration that goes back into the 1920s and 1930s. I was born in 1926, so in 1930 I was just a kid. But there's still things, so many things that I remember back in that time. As we look at the scriptures this morning, I want to talk about the rich man and Lazarus. And I want us to consider the works of the flesh concerning them. Really, I want us to think about the sin of not doing anything. As we look at the rich man, you know, we read about here in Luke the 16th chapter. He said, concerning him, he had a poor man laid at his gate every day. They brought Lazarus. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us this was the brother of Mary and Martha, but they had a brother named Lazarus, and I assume that maybe this was him, but maybe not. Lazarus was brought every day to the rich man's gate and laid there. Even the dogs trotting down, the old stray dogs trotting down the street, would stop and lick Lazarus's sores. Can you visualize that? Isn't that something that this man of God that has passed away and he's in Abraham's bosom, and the dogs just come by and lick his sores, leprosy or not, I don't know what it was. But to me, it's rather a repulsive view to see him. And I'm sure that this rich man that we read about here in Luke, the 16th chapter, clothed in purple and fine linen, Lazarus was laid there that he might even get the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. But no man gave to him. He died. Now the rich man, the beggar died in verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham. So he must have been of the Jewish religion or something of that nature, because Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said unto him, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received the good things and Lazarus the evil. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Now the real subject of our lesson this morning is the deep gulf. And here's what Abraham said to the rich man. Besides all this, between us and you is a great gulf fixed. The reason I mention that great gulf, because that great gulf exists in the world that we live in today. I recently watched the news, and I do quite a bit of that since Martha's in the rest home and I'm by myself in the apartment. But I noticed the news a few weeks ago, the young college students from all over that part of the eastern part of the nation gathered on the panhandle of Florida, and there in their almost nude dress had an orgy, I guess you'd call it. But anyhow, there is something that was so repulsive to the spiritual-minded concerning the dress of the Christian woman and the conduct of the Christian man. Now, that great gulf that we read about here, that the rich man was on the torment, I am tormented in this flame, and that deep gulf exists between the rich man and Lazarus, and that great gulf exists today in the world in which we live. After death, you will not be able to cross that gulf. But you could cross that gulf this morning while you're alive. If you're living in sin, the works of the flesh, those things, you can hear the gospel and you can believe it and you can repent of your sins. And you can have those sins washed away. But this great gulf that we see mentioned here, I turn over and I look at the rich man that passed away, and I think about the things that the Bible didn't say that he did. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest with idolatry. He didn't say that he did that, unless maybe the fact that he worshipped his money, and there was that beggar that laid at his gate. Now, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Those are the things that will take us, if we do those, to a place where the rich man was, banished from the presence of God, the works of the flesh. But it doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that he was an adulterer or a fornicator or lascivious. Now, idolatry, yes, I imagine he was worshiping his money. He had plenty of it. He was a rich man. And he saw Lazarus there at his gate, but, well, no man gave to Lazarus. But the thing of it is, it really brings me to the fact that I wanted to bring this lesson, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, are so predominant about us today on the news as we see all of these things. I know recently when Martha was in, she was dismissed from the Tally House, and we went to the Beehive rest home over in the southern part of the town. And when Martha had to go to the hospital, I was alone there with Martha in the room that we had. And I want you to know that there was a woman in that unit over there that came down to the room. I have the door open. She sees me sitting there, and she comes in and she says, I need a roommate. Now, can you imagine a woman coming to a room like that and saying, I need a roommate? What was she wanting? Well, you know, your imagination is as good as mine. But the thing that the forwardness of sin in this world, and I look at the lust of the flesh, and the adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolation, it doesn't say that the rich man did these things, other than possibly his idolatry or worshiping his money. And so I look at us today in our life, and I see the sin that's all about us and how grievous it is. And we say, well, I don't do that. I don't do that. I don't do that. I don't. Here's all of these sins that you talked about, Clyde. And I don't do that. I don't do that. So you add all of these, I don't do that up, and what do you have? A zero. You add up a bunch of zeros, you have zero. What do we do for a man like Lazarus? Is the question before us this morning. So I think we need to look then at the fruit of the Spirit. In the same chapter, we see the fruit of the Spirit, what it is. We as Christians must emphasize that we must have this fruit of the Spirit in our lives. I look at them now. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Do we have that love for the lost that we have in the world today? Clyde, do you love those people that are lost in sin? Well, are you preaching the gospel to them? Well, of course, I wanted to use that illustration about the horses that led that fire wagon there in my hometown before they bought the motor vehicle to put the fire truck on it. When they would sound that alarm, those horses would just go wild. And when I was asked to preach, Clyde, what would you preach? I would want to preach, we need this fruit of the Spirit. We need that love. We need that joy. We need that peace. We need that long-suffering. We need that gentleness. We need that goodness. We need that meekness. We need that temperance. We need all of these things, because there's no contradiction, there's no law against those. Works of the flesh in the same chapter as we read them. Adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy. That's what we have in the world. But then he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So really this morning, my whole sermon, and it won't be long, I won't drag this lesson out that long, but I want us to have that fruit of the Spirit emphasized over and over. I need it. I mean, Clyde Freeman, you've preached the gospel now since, well, 1949, you were preaching pretty well full time. 1950, at 50, 60 years. And I've enjoyed it. And like I say, I love the opportunity of speaking to people, but I say, Clyde, what will you emphasize on the people's mind this morning? I want us as a people to have that fruit of the Spirit of love and joy and peace. Now, as we look at the works of the flesh, it's so easy to fall into the works of the flesh and manifest adultery. It's so much of it. Fornication, so much of it. Lasciviousness, I assume, now that's kind of a difficult word in my mind. I'm sure some of you have a better definition of lasciviousness. But I think we as Americans, excuse me, have grown used to all, how many people will be at a baseball game? Well, there's 100,000, 80,000, 90,000 people watching this baseball game, and the attendance and the membership of the congregations of the church is falling. Christian Chronicle takes a review of the membership of the congregation quite often. A year or so ago, I looked at that article in the Christian Chronicle about all of the states, of the 50 states that we have in the Union. They had lost in the church the membership in numbers of the congregations, except one state. It had increased. The state of South Dakota had increased. When I went to South Dakota, I was studying with a man who was from the Christian Reformed Church. And he said something to me that really struck home, and it comes to my mind so often. He said, "Clyde, these things that you're working with me here, where have you been so long? Where have you been that you haven't been here in this state? My grandmother was a wonderful person, and she never heard this. Where have you been?" I feel like that if I had one point in this lesson that I would want us to remember, we have neglected the spreading of the gospel of Christ for some reason. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We need that fruit of the Spirit so much in our lives. But the works of the flesh, we need to be sure that we examine our hearts and we have those things removed from us. But in, as we said, brethren, which of you spiritually restore such a one in the spirit of meekness? Thanks a lot. You which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself also, lest thou be tempted. If we're losing membership in the church, if our numbers of people are dying faster than we're converting, then something is wrong with those of us who are dedicated to the winning of souls. There's so many things that I need to mention this morning in the sermon, and I know that this is not the most interesting in grabbing you as it could be. But he says in this verse of scripture concerning the rich man, when he says, "Send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and touch my tongue, for I am tormented in this place. That was after death. But we can cross that gulf if we haven't crossed it already in the life in which we live. So this morning, as I speak to you, as an old preacher that should sit down and shut up, I went to a congregation and I looked down at there's printed across the pulpit here, it says, "Stand up, speak up, and shut up." And so I thought that's a pretty good motto to live by. But what I want us to do is, let's be dedicated to the saving, even of those who have been baptized and have fallen away. Bring them back. Let's watch the church grow. I guess that when I came back from the army, having been to Japan and watched the idols that they worshipped over there, I thought, "Clyde, what are you going to do as an occupation?" Well, I had the opportunity of going to a little congregation out in the country that didn't have a preacher. And I was making my living as an accountant for a Chevrolet corporation, Cadillac Chevrolet, J.I. Case, and all that. But I looked up one day, and these men standing there said, Clyde, Brother Albert Trent, the preacher at Sentinel, said that you could come over and preach for us. Our preacher's moved. And I did. I preached to the congregation 5 years. And in that 5 years, the different ones would visit, and they said, Clyde, why aren't you preaching full time? You're working and preaching here. Why aren't you preaching full time? And I thought, well, I'll try. Well, I preached ever since 1949. I'm so thankful that God permitted me that opportunity. And I'm so thankful that you would take time this morning to listen to an old preacher. But I want us to be aware that we can be a rich person, and we as an Americans are rich in the eyes of the world. But let's not squander that which we have on ourselves, but let's share it with people that are searching, that are hurting. Each one of us. Why don't each one of us say, there's someone that I want to talk to. I want to reach out and give them a welcome to be a part of this fellowship. In the end, when we come to the end of our life, I don't want to add up a bunch of zeros in my life. I don't think there is one person here that's a Christian that says, well, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing this. We can help people cross that great gulf that was between the rich man and Lazarus. As he talked about, there's a great gulf between us, and those there cannot come here, and those here cannot go there. But we can cross that gulf in the life that you and I live today. If you at one time have crossed the gulf and, like many of us, fallen back, why don't we come back to the Lord? Why don't we come back and say, Lord, use me every way you can. Use me. It's scriptural that I want to work in your kingdom. And if you've ever crossed that gulf, you can cross it. I know that you would not be here if you did not believe in Christ. You believe? Do you realize that your transgressions that are unrepented of can damn your soul? Repentance means turning. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. You can turn from things that are wrong in your life. Or if you've never repented and become a Christian, you can repent of the lie. After repentance, you confess Him before men. He said, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. More than that, we look at the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man could have helped Lazarus. But the rich man called out for help, but it was too late. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and touch my tongue. But Abraham said unto him, remember, you in your lifetime had the good things, Lazarus the evil. May we be encouraged by the scriptures, do the best we can to serve God and win others. I say all of this, that if you're here this morning and you realize that you have not lived like you ought to live, you know what God's Word says, that you've never taken that step, why not become a Christian? Josh, I know, would help you as you're ready to be baptized this morning. I'm afraid that I might drown if I tried. But the thing of it is, I want to leave this impression, and perhaps this may be my very last sermon that I'll ever have the opportunity to preach. But if you're here, if there's any way that we could touch your heart, cause you to step out and say, I want to serve the Lord. I want my sins washed away. I want my name added to the Lamb's Book of Life. When the books are open and we're judged by that book that's open, that we're judged by our deeds, the deeds that we have done will have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. That invitation is yours. Thank you for putting up with an old 89-year-old man. Thank you so much this morning for giving me one more opportunity to stand up and speak for the Lord. If you're subject to the invitation to come, would you step out, come forward, give Josh your hand and God your heart, and have your sins washed away? Would you do that? It's your soul. As together we stand and sing.